Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studio. Man, the local, the state, the national, we're covering down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So when we go live next week in Chattanooga, do I need to change that to say the Southeast, or what do I say, the Southeast syndicated news talk? What am I saying?
I think that's, yeah, Southeast syndicated news talk leader.
I like it. Those lines. I like it. It's a claim. We can make it. I like it. Anyway, stay tuned for that, just so you know. Hey, by the way, let me. That reminds me of something. We just had somebody a minute ago text us and say, are you still on the air in Birmingham? And no, if you recall, or some of you recall, 101.1 our FM station out of Birmingham, we rolled off of that effective January 1st. And the reason being is we had been in contract renegotiations with them. The time was up on the term, and we decided not to renew. And it was just a business decision. We are, you know, talking about other options, but there is an option available to everybody right now. And the option is stream it online. We are doing audio and video streaming of this show right now as I speak online on multiple formats. This is how Charlene listens to the show more often than not. She pulls it up on her phone, and she's listening to it wherever she is. So here's the thing. You can get Right Side Radio's broadcast every single day anywhere in the whole wide world on the World Wide Web. Just go to YouTube for one. There's one. And by the way, if you go to YouTube, hit subscribe if you haven't already done it, because not only does that help you find us again real quick, and there's no cost for it, that helps us grow as a company. YouTube actually rewards us because there are people that hit the subscribe button on our platform. So grab it. Hit subscribe. You can also follow the show every day on Twitter or X. You can see it on mine, which is at Sin Phil Williams, or you can see it on Right Side Media, which is the company's. You can see it on our website, rightsidemedia.org. All these different, and Twitch and Rumble, I mean, we're everywhere. So there ain't no reason why you should ever miss an episode, no matter where you are in the whole wide world. Just go to the World Wide Web, and you can watch audio and video of Right Side Radio's daily broadcast. Appreciate it. So I'm doing this section on jackassery. And I said before the break, the jackassery in the lexicon of Right Side, most of you ruffians already know this. For those of you all that are new to it, jackassery is defined as an awful decision made by someone in a position of authority, especially elected officials, for which they have not thought through the ramifications and obviously made their decision incorrectly. But we have to live with it. And that, my friends, is the definition of what we call jackassery. Which has its own sound effect. Good job, man. Here's the first one. Dateline today. So you remember last week, JP, when Biden just like decided to go ahead and commute the sentences of everybody on death row?
Yeah, pretty much everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. So 37 inmates on death row in the federal system, not states, but the federal system. And he decided, you know what? The power of the pen's amazing when you're president, even if you're not the one signing it. And so he just like, you know, I don't like the death penalty. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, no more death penalty for you. And he left three, but I think it's 34. No, it's 30. That's right. There was 40 total. And he did away with 37 death sentences. Doesn't matter what the courts and the juries and the judges had all decided. Doesn't matter. They've been through the appeals process.
Great Christmas present for the victims' families, too.
Yes, and the victims' families didn't even know about it. It was like on December 23rd when he did it, and they were not even told, which was just a slap in the face. Well, you may be curious to find that two of those who got their sentences commuted are resisting it and demanding that the court reinstate their death penalties.
That actually doesn't surprise me.
Listen, the commutation of a sentence or the pardoning of someone is supposed to be done on a case-by-case basis. It's also supposed to be something that typically they have asked for. You don't go looking, all right, who got a commute today? Give me one. I don't know. Who's in prison? I'll do him. That doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. And you sure don't look at it and go, well, I just disagree with the idea of anyone getting a sentence that I think is mean. And so I can't let mean go. And so he just did away with them. But the fact that two of them have now said, no, we're not doing this is a clear indication that this was not a case-by-case basis.
Nope.
This was jackassery of the highest order. This was awful.
Yeah, it's that is ironic and funny. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because, you know, death row inmates live a lot more comfortably than the others, but it's just funny that they're telling them, though, that they don't want it.
Well, here's the reason why, though. Because both of these, one is a guy named Shannon Nagofsky, he's 53, and another one named Lynn Davis, 60. They're both in for murder, both of which were, I think, in the midst of bank robberies, I believe. Separate crimes, but they're both in for the same reasons, sort of. They're both in the middle of an appeal, and they know that the appeal in the federal court system, the appeal of a death penalty sentence, is something which brings the law requires the court to use what's called heightened scrutiny, meaning they got to dig deep and look at everything. They can't just go, that one thing in the court, you know, the trial was bad. Heightened scrutiny brings a different level of judicial review. And they believe now that their appeals are going to be jeopardized if they're no longer on death row. They think they can actually get an appeal done that not only deals with their sentence, but with their entire conviction. And he just wiped out the heightened scrutiny that they want on their appeal.
That's just great. That's
obviously, they didn't ask for the commutation.
Yeah, no, I don't think
so. Like, so if that's not, and listen, if that's not jackassery, I don't know what is. Well, we're just going to go and commute that sentence. No, I don't want it. Oh, we thought you would. And no, they didn't. Hit me some jackassery on that one. That was just nothing but good. Here's some jackassery from California, the land of jackassery. By the way, there are some conservative wonder people out there. I mean, there's some superheroes of conservatism. You think it's easy or hard? I'm sorry. You think it's hard being a conservative in Alabama sometimes? Try being a conservative in California. The ones who are hanging on out there, they're the Alamo, man. But California right now, whew, here's another one for you, just so as you know. The California Air Resources Board, which is a thing that shouldn't exist, by the way.
Yeah.
The California Air Resources Board has posted a job application for something called a community expert, someone who will help reshape the California Air Resources Board's approach to advancing racial equity. Mm. Because clean air is a racial thing.
Obviously, you didn't know that.
I don't know if you know this or not, but those evil white cisgender people have been sending the smoke from their smokestacks over to the poor neighborhoods. That's what happens. And you can drive down the racist roads and you can find it. And there it is. Smoke, the winds, prevailing winds blow all the smoke to the poor, demographically challenged regions of California. Here's the quote. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Brace yourself. This is jackassery at the highest order. The job posting says this. It's, quote, developing a racial equity impact analysis tool called the Racial Equity Lens to advance the agency's vision for racial equity. A future where all Californians equitably breathe healthy and clean air, benefit from actions to address climate change, and where race is no longer a predictor of life outcomes. What does that even mean?
I don't even know what that means. You lost me at the beginning.
Where race is no longer a predictor of life outcomes.
What was it ever? Or
climate change. Equitable breathing. Equitable breathing.
Equitable breathing.
Because, you know, white people breathe differently than black people.
Obviously.
Yes.
I mean, there's a department for it.
Okay, here's one that's going to make some people mad. Because that's what jackassery does, is it fires people up. Oh, it's California again, by the way.
That's not surprising.
Exclusive to Fox News, Dateline 2 days ago, a young lady named Taylor Starling, she's a high school cross-country runner at the Martin Luther King High School in Riverside, California. She just lost her spot on the varsity team. You know why?
Why?
Come on. You know why. It's jackassery. Imagine why.
Something with a guy being on the team?
Yes! Because a transgender transferred into her school and got her spot on the girls' cross-country team. Not only that, but the parents are livid not just that this is being allowed, but that the trans athlete also doesn't qualify academically and is still being allowed to be on the team. So you've got you got other kids that miss practices or have academic problems, and they're immediately off. They can't compete. Not this one. You got a dude running chick sports and missing practices for academia, and the school district's like, we don't see a problem with this.
That checks out.
Sure. Seems legit. The families are now engaged in a lawsuit against the Riverside Unified School District, and I hope they win. When they confronted school administrators about it, here's the real kicker. When they confronted the school administrators about it, they were told, quote, transgenders have more rights than cisgenders. Show me that in the Constitution.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
Yeah. Yeah. To build a more perfect union for those who are, you know, of the belief that they are different than the way they were born biologically. This is a quote. All the administrators at Martin Luther King have stated this comment that the Title IX coordinator for the Riverside Unified School District has said that as a cisgender girl does not have the same rights as a transgender girl to multiple girls, not just our daughters, but multiple girls on campus. California does have a law, AB 1226, that went into effect in 2014 that allows students at K-12 and even college the right to, quote, participate in sex-segregated school programs using their gender identity, irrespective of the gender listed on their records. In other words, your school records might say you're a dude, but when you come in that morning, you just feel rather girlish. I feel rather girlish today. I don't feel like I should have to compete on the boys' team. I want to be on the girls' team today. Oh, by the way, can I use their locker? Awesome. Do we shower together? Even better. That's where we are right now. I'm feeling rather saucy today. Hit me some jackassery and take me to a break, brother. We're taking a break. We'll come right back. I got more jackassery. I got a whole stack of it. When I come back, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're building a house or replacing a water heater, just know life could change for you. Then again, it's like the outgoing guy who didn't know what he signed. So maybe the incoming guy who's fully aware of himself can get this undone. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a bunch of text messages that I got to catch up on a few. Let me see what I got. Oh, talking about a moment ago with the California Air Resources Board. Equitable breathing. Brian from Huntsville texts in, says, equitable breathing. And San Francisco has poo samples on the sidewalks. Yeah. Yeah, about the poo samples. You know, if you gotta have a poop map, you know about that. Have you heard about this?
I have. Actually, I learned about it when DeSantis and
Newsom
had their debate, and he brought it up during the debate, and he had a graph of it.
Yeah, he said, if you gotta have a poop map, then you got problems. That's just, yeah. They're gonna have equity in their air resources board.
And if a foreign dictator comes in, they'll clean it up real fast.
Oh, it'll look spotless.
Yeah.
Roy from Hartsel says, Phil, I was born way too soon. In my day, boys dreamed of peeking in the girls' locker room. Nowadays, you got to be claimed to be a girl, and you're in there. Yep, that's where we are, dude. Mike from Coxey, Alabama says, this is available at the Foodland, and it tastes about the same. Oh, you can actually go buy, and they call it school pizza. Look at that.
I saw that. That's interesting.
I've never seen that. He bought it at Hometown Grocery, and it's packaged. It's a square. It looks just like, has that weird kind of square shape, and has the cheese. School pizza.
I love having school pizza.
Let's call it school pizza. There ought to be more school pizza. Yes. Everybody needs some school pizza in their life. Gary H. Got the word about the Birmingham. Thank you very much. David from Bucky's, again, he says, Phil, we moved to Huntsville in 1965 from Florida. We experienced our first snowfall on November 3rd. I believe it was 8 inches. I think it's the earliest snowfall ever in Huntsville. We were warned not to eat the snow as there was fear the snow was caused by nuclear fallout from a Soviet test. Wow. 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 That's crazy.
That is nuts.
Don't eat the snow. It could be nuclear. Yes. Your poop map will glow at that point. So the blizzard of 93, I told the story before, but as we approach Snowmageddon on Friday this week.
Snowmageddon.
So the blizzard of 93, we were living briefly over in Georgia. And Charlene had just taken the kids, who were little bitties, to go see the grandparents. They were down in Mobile. And I came down with the worst case of flu I've had in my life, maybe. And I was miserable sick. And she was gone with the kids. And I said, don't come home. I'm really, really sick. And so she stayed down there. And I had somebody deliver some medicine to the house. And I just, like, hunkered down. But we didn't have a TV in the bedroom. And I was so miserable. I think I slept for, like, 16 hours. And next thing I know, she calls to wake me up. And I said, oh. And she goes, how much snow did you get? I said, what snow? And she goes, the snow, the blizzard. How much snow did you get? And I said, what are you talking about? And she says, look out the window. And I leaned over because there was a window next to the bed, and I kind of pulled back the shade, and I went, holy crap, because the drift was up to the window. I had no idea. I slept through the whole blizzard.
That's good.
I didn't know it was coming.
That's funny.
And I just woke up, and I was. She couldn't come home for the next, like, 10 days, and I was snowed in with the flu. Luckily, my power never went out.
Yeah, that would have been the cherry on top.
That would have been something like epic of, you know, survival mode. JT Lacey Spring says, jackassery. Dudes participating in girl sports is just nuts. Yes, it is. JR from Rogersville, Alabama. That's a great city.
Yep.
We got Ken up yonder, Rogersville. Says, Colonel, in 1983, I was a crew member with a NATO AWACS. I graduated from high school in 1967. You, sir, are a spring chicken. So what you're trying to say is when I was just a twinkle in my mama's eye, you were already out there doing stuff. But, well, JR, appreciate you, man, and thanks for your service. Jeff P. from ARAB says, we had snow drifts 30 feet deep. It was so crazy, I had to climb out of my window to open our front door because we were trapped inside. I was only 13. I remember it like it was yesterday. That was big doings, man. Big doings. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I lived in Huntsville my entire life. I'm not buying milk and bread because I don't trust the meteorologists. They've been wrong so many times. Well, now that you said that, it's going to snow like crazy. Ken from Decatur says, got to be pizza Friday. And then Bruce from Springville says, yeah, graduated in 81. Square pizza and spaghetti were the bomb. There you go. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama, y'all, Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like from the top of Huntsville down to Birmingham. And all from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden and Georgia, Tennessee, and parts of Mississippi even thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, next Monday we go live on WGOW out of Chattanooga. So we're excited to be adding the Chattanooga, East Tennessee region, the Northwest Georgia areas that are part of that listening area, and, oh, by the way, pieces of Northeast Alabama that we can't quite get to because of the mountains. We do now, but we're pretty stoked about it. So anyway, looking forward to that. We'll keep you posted. Just so as you know, I believe tomorrow production's finished on my latest podcast. Should be going out tomorrow, am I right?
Yep, 11 a.m.
Already got it in the hopper? Good to go. You're awesome. So my latest podcast that comes out tomorrow, the Right Philosophy video podcast. By the way, I filmed those at my house, in my study at the house, and really love the production quality and what the team does to put it together and get it out on time. Comes out every Wednesday. It's called The Right Philosophy. And this week is on presidential participation trophies. Yeah, because it's jackassery. That's why. So presidential participation trophies, that's my latest Right Philosophy podcast, comes out tomorrow. We already have one that just came out in the last couple of days. We have four podcast lines, in case you haven't seen them. They're awesome. You can either listen and or watch. They are video, but you can always just choose to listen to the audio. But the controversial mom, Emily Jones, her piece came out this past Sunday on the social-emotional learning stuff in schools right now, and it's really, really well done. So there's that one. And then the Liberty Minute with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson comes out on Thursdays, and then Right Click with Birdman comes out on Fridays. So we got a whole panoply. A panoply, if you will, of podcasting. I have not used that word before.
Panoply.
A panoply of podcasting. I like it.
It works.
Let's do some more jackassery. What do you say?
I say.
You say that. Yeah, you do. Jackassery. So Jackassery, in case you're not, we have our own lexicon here at Right Side Radio. We have words that are part of the fabric of the show. Things like kekistocracy, which is a government run by the least competent of its citizens. We have, you know, any number of things that we talk about on a regular basis. All our people are called Right Side Ruffians. And oh, by the way, every once in a while we have to talk about jackassery. So this is one that qualifies. The Biden administration, you know, this flurry of executive orders and actions by Biden. Some people say it's the Biden administration's anger. They're like it's like having a tantrum. That Charlene and I were talking this morning, and she said it's like he's angry and he's just lashing out on his way out the door. Maybe that's what it is. It's like a tantrum.
Yeah, throwing a pity party.
It is. Well, I'm going to do this. Well, you can't stop me. I still got a pen. I'm going to do this. Don't you try to. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do this. Well, you know what? Some of the stuff he's doing is just complete jackassery, because not only is it going to get undone, but it was stupid to begin with, like this one. The Biden administration, according to Fox Business, Dateline 2 days ago, is banning certain natural gas water heaters because that's going to help. It's part of their climate change agenda. By the way, just so as you know, Joe Biden, your agenda ends in 10 days. There, I said it. It's a move that critics say will jack up energy costs for low-income and senior households especially. The move in the final days of the administration will take, go figure, non-condensing natural gas-fired water heaters off the shelves by 2029. This is not going to stand up.
No.
Listen, the natural gas, you know, advocates are already out there saying, stop, this is, and by the way, it's a final rule. It's issued as a final rule from what's known as the Energy Policy and Conservation, and it's Department of Energy. And they didn't even go through the usual public announcement phase. They just did it. Because,
ta-da.
Yeah, like shabam.
Surprise.
Hope nobody notices. We dropped this thing in there. Little turd in your punch bowl right there, just so as you know. But yeah, the Department of Energy just dropped this thing right after Christmas, hoping nobody would notice, I guess. No public announcements. And Fox Business reached out to the DOE for comment and got pretty much nothing. The American Gas Association calls it deeply concerning and irresponsible. And then basically what it does is it makes the cost of living more expensive. But, you know, climate change and things.
That is
existential threats.
That is the priority.
Hit me some jackassery again. Why not? I got this one, which just feels like jackassery, and I had to pull it out. Hotair.com has a piece. New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Boy. If you're looking for a jackassery prom date, that's her right there. But New York Governor Kathy, I don't know where I come up with some things that come out of my mouth sometimes.
The jackassery prom date was a good one.
I don't know. Anyway, so she's real serious about climate change and things, stuff, and yeah. So New York has all their airports and things that they got to deal with, and it's a big deal. And so Governor Kathy Hochul is promoting her climate change agenda by flying around the state on her private jet to warn people about climate change.
Yeah. Well, they can't contribute to it. This just, you know, lower level people like us that contribute to it. They don't emute carbon put carbon out there.
They don't. Mm-mm. And their poop don't smell either.
No.
Doesn't. So Governor Hochul also recently approved a controversial law that would force oil, natural gas, and coal companies to pay up to $75 billion for carbon emissions, allegedly contributing to global warming. She has taken at least 30 flights aboard private jets in the last couple of years. Never mind. Not, you know, rules for thee, not for me. That's where we are. By the way, that reminds me. I didn't even think about it. By the way, that's jackassery, just so you know. But I didn't. I should have pulled this story. Did you see about the congestion zone thing in New York City?
I did not know.
They're very excited about it. New York. There are now areas of New York City where you have to pay a toll to drive around in the area. Otherwise, you get a ticket because it's considered a congestion zone fee.
Mm.
They're trying to reduce traffic and force you onto the subways where nothing bad ever happens.
Well, what could go wrong on the subways?
Listen, I don't care how you feel about smog. We need you to risk your life on the subway, please, today. That's where we are. Either that or we're going to give you a ticket. So there's, I mean, that's, I didn't have that in front of me. I just remember that's jackassery. Just saying. I may need to do a segment on that tomorrow.
That's
because, you know,
crazy.
London's doing the same thing, too. London, I did a piece a while back. They called the ULEZ. What does that stand for? The ultra-low emission zones of London. And it's now expanded to, it was at one point, one part of London. And then the liberal mayor of London decided it was so neat, he made it everything. And so there are now people who, and they put up security cameras everywhere. And there are now people who call themselves Blade Runners. And their thing is they go out in the dark of night with saws and they cut down cameras so the people can't get tickets.
Wow.
And there's whole websites out there now to help you dodge the cameras. So if you're going to your office and the straight shot takes you past a camera, the website will, sort of like Waze, will teach you how to go take a right here and a left there, and you'll come back around the block, the backside, without being seen by the camera. It's a whole cottage industry. But the Blade Runners, you ought to look it up real quick. Look up Blade Runners London, and I guarantee you, they've got YouTubes. I mean, they go out and they'll take power saws and they'll wear ski masks and they'll cut down whole poles. And I'm not little bitty poles. They're cutting down like big poles.
Oh yeah.
You see them?
Blade Runners, yep.
Blade Runners. That's what we're gonna have in the congestion zone of New York City. Blade Runners are gonna arise. Here's one for you. I mean, why not? You know, as Biden throws his tantrums and kicks and screams and is petulant and wants stuff, he also just decided that on the way out the door, he was going to make sure that Trump was going to have a hard time unleashing American energy dominance. Woke Spy has the article, Dateline January 3. President Joe Biden prepares to exit the Oval Office. His administration is reportedly gearing up to deliver a final parting gift to environmental activists, one that could deal a lasting blow to American energy independence. According to Bloomberg News, which, by the way, he did do it, Biden is planning to impose restrictions on offshore oil and gas drilling. Well, he did. 625 million acres of offshore. Basically, what he did was he ringed the entire country, with the exception of part of the Gulf Coast area, which I believe actually is Alabama's waters, did not get included for some reason. But all of Florida, ringing the entire Florida, all the way up the East Coast to Maine, and on the West Coast from Florida down the coast to California. No drilling allowed. No exploration for oil and gas. None. Why? Because, you know, climate change and things.
It's unsafe.
You can put up a windmill farm in the middle of the whole, you know, offshore waters and kill whales and cause all kinds of havoc. But you cannot have an oil rig. No.
And he knows it's going to get overturned day one.
Well, the problem they got with that is he cited congressional action as his basis for doing so. And what that means is as soon as Trump undoes it on day one, which he says he will, the grounds for a lawsuit immediately commences. And some liberal judge somewhere is going to look at the activists and go, file it in my court. I got you covered. Just saying. What time do I have? I got more.
You got a little bit of time.
The jackassery stack is deep. Just so you know, in Seattle, they just recently hiked the minimum wage. Hiked it. You can now go now work at Bebop's Waffle Shop. Oh, no, you can't because they close their doors. Mm. Bebop Waffle Shop. Now, by the way, this has to be one of the wokest things I've ever heard. But they went from $17 an hour minimum wage in Seattle to Seattle deciding to set the minimum wage over $20. Over $20. It's $20.76 an hour. And the interesting thing is, like the Bebop Waffle Shop, they had a big party on December 31st, New Year's Eve, and then January 1st, they locked their doors forever and shut down because they knew they weren't going to be able to sustain the minimum wage requirements. So you're watching businesses shut down overnight. Here's the dynamic this makes it like how do you, I don't know how to compare to this. The owner of the Bebop Waffle Shop says, "I hate to close a safe space for queer people at this time." That's her takeaway. Her takeaway was not jobs and the economy and waffles. No. There's not anything about, this is my business, I put my heart and soul into it. No. She hates to close a safe space for queer people at this time. So I guess what I'm looking at here is maybe the whole equity thing backfired as they raised the minimum wage, but they shut down. Are they now dealing with food inequity?
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
That's what it appears to be to me.
We at least have waffle inequity.
Yeah, waffle. That is a priority right there.
The Bebop waffle shop shut down, and I'm sure they're not going to be the last. Yeah, Anthony Anton, the guy who's head of the Washington Hospitality Association, estimates Seattle's going to see 5 to 8% of its restaurants go out of business this year alone because they can't sustain the minimum wage requirement of $20.76 an hour. Unbelievable. And hit me some jackassery. And take me to a break. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We're taking the last break of the day. We'll come right back and wrap it up with some text messages and general jargon. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.